Okay, so before we start, we've got to understand that the ray of the astral body is a very, very powerful. It's of great power. And it governs the individual for a very long time and still governs the rest of humanity as well. It corresponds to the Atlantean period and to the stage of adolescence. Okay. Right. And that the time of Atlantis, the astral body was the focus of attention. So therefore, this astral influence, which is that overpowering emotional glamour that we've inherited from the Piscean age, because we are not quite out of the Piscean age yet, has its roots in this past Atlantean civilization. So much of what happens today and what may develop has its roots in this aspect of the astral body being focused on during that time. But seeds were sown at the time, and now we're bringing it is being brought to flower, as DK says, beautifully expressed by DK. But it's quite distressing as well, as we all know. Now, I've made a table, but we're going to concentrate mainly on the soul ray. So the personality ray finds expression in the physical body, whereas the soul ray has direct and specific action on the astral body. And that's what the point that I really wanted to bring out today. And the monadic ray influences the mental body. So the personality induces a separative attitude, whereas the soul ray induces group consciousness. And the monadic ray, much later after the third initiation, releases the man from the limitation of form. So that doesn't quite concern us at this stage. But the personality ray causes a detachment from this group of souls, whereas the soul ray causes attachment to the life side of manifestation and to the subjective whole. And the personality ray causes attachment to the form side, whereas the soul ray causes detachment from the external form. So we can see, therefore, how the soul ray affects our astral body. So that's a very important point for us to remember. Now, the astral body is usually governed by two rays, ray 2 and ray 6. This is the general rule. But this rule can vary for disciples. Now, for example, to SCP, whose ray makeup was ray 1 soul. What did I do here? Oh, yes. The point that I'm trying to make here is that sometimes the sorry guys, my head is not here today. What's wrong with me tonight? Today, I'm losing the thread of my thought. Yeah, the point that I'm trying to make is very often in disciples, the lower vehicles won't follow the same rules as the usual rule. So in this particular case, SCP has got a ray one body, which is very unusual. But DK says that in the case of disciples, these rays that he's chosen are there for a very good reason. And it's to build a vehicle of a particular force to meet the urgency or the need or the service of a particular life. Now, to WDS, who has a very unusual Ray 1 astral, because it doesn't follow the usual rule of Ray 2 and Ray 6, it's so as to bring to the surface as many of the hindering, and by hindering he means problems that hinders the group effectiveness and group cohesion, because his soul is on the Ray 2 soul, Ray 2. So therefore, he needs this, if his soul ray is going to affect his astral body, the astral body being on a Ray 1 affects his group cohesion, group consciousness, and group unity. So seeing that we're on the Ray 1, which according to Michael Robbins is assumed to be rare, but it occurs in about 20% of the Tibetan's disciples. So it's not perhaps as rare. So let's have a look at Ray 1 glamours, first of all. We have the glamour of physical strength, the glamour of personal magnetism, the glamour of self-centeredness and personal potency, this one in particular, the one at the center, what DK calls the dramatic eye right at the center. The Ray 1 is very much me, me, me. And the glamour of selfish personal ambition, the glamour of rulership, of dictatorship, of control, the glamour of the Messiah complex, particularly in the field of politics. And I think we've seen this recently in politics, without mentioning any names. The glamour of selfish destiny, of divine right, of kings, personally exacted, and that the kings of the French, during the French rule, their rule in the Louis XIV in particular was very much, suffered very much from that glamour. The glamour of destruction, glamour of isolation, of aloneness, aloofness, and the glamour of superimposing their will on others and other groups. So now let's apply it to a Ray 1 astral body. What would that look like? So that person who has a Ray 1 astral would be would have a lot of emotional power, but at the same time, would be his emotions would be suppressed. He would be unresponsive to other people's feelings. Well, in a way, it works. It works well when you have a leader that cannot be swept by emotions and needs to keep the focus on the purpose of whatever is being done. So this is quite an asset. But when you have somebody who doesn't have any empathy for other people's feelings, then that's not such a good thing either. So that person would have difficulty integrating emotions with his mental field and his personality field. Would be highly tense and highly anxious. Actually, I know somebody who has a Ray 1, and she is constantly nervous, and so much so that she has a tremor and that she cannot control, because that energy is so suppressed. that it's affecting her nervous system. Dickey talks about storms and tempers. This person would be very, very prone to exploding out of, you know, the rage would just come out of nowhere. And that this emotion, which just exploding, would be very, very destructive and very cutting. You probably know these people. They use their tongue in a very harsh and cruel way. So that expresses itself very destructively, very hurtfully. There would be a cathartic release of these concealed emotions. That person would be very fearful of being attached to emotionally to people. So would really fiercely be independent emotionally. And as a consequence, would be isolated and feeling very much alone. Now, friends, if you really want to know about rays, please go to Michael's book on Tapestry of the Gods. He lists and he explains as well. So this is a very, very good resource that we have at our fingertips to understanding rays.
And this is available on Makara, and I'll put the link in the chat box or the
chat. Great. Thank you, Joe. And now to RSU, who has one of his disciples who has a Ray 1 astral. He says that it feeds her sense of separativeness and tends to isolate her and her fear of attachment. So to this emotionally and astrally detached person and isolated from those who, from loved ones, DK says there is a conflict between her loving soul, because she's a Ray 2 soul, and her lonely and isolated astral vehicles. And what's interesting is the solution to her Ray 1 astral body, which is isolated and feeling alone and very detached, is to build in Ray 2 qualities. So much so that he's given her a writing task, to write a paper that will emphasize the characteristics of a second ray astral body. And then he asks her to build in these second ray qualities that she's enumerated into her personality, such as love, methods of contact that she can use to make a rapport with others, attraction, understanding, sympathy, and compassion, all these Ray 2 qualities. Now, this Ray 1 astral body can be stirred into storms and tempers. I love that expression. And to fuel this sense of I in the person. But DK tells us it's a very powerful asset. So if you feel that you have one, so have a really good look at the effect that it has on other people around you. But it could be a very powerful asset. So try to understand why you have one if you do happen to have a Ray 1 astral body. But it needs harnessing. It needs to be controlled really well. So, quick summary. The astral force of Ray 1 flowing through will usually use the head as the center. And then, of course, it will flow through to the astral body. The negative aspect will be self-pity and the dramatic I, that sense of me, me, me. But the good aspect is it will bring that person that sense of sacrifice for others and dedicating the I for a purpose of some sort. So let's see the transmutation of these negative ray ones and what would be the positive transmuted aspects then. So destructive energy, power which is used selfishly, lovelessness, isolation, longing for power and authority and impose that power on others, that desire to dominate any situation, for that dramatic I, I'm the most important, I'm right, etc., etc. And express strength and that self-will on the life and on others around. But if all these are transmuted, then we have a great energy for the furtherance of the divine plan. It's been put to good use. The use of destructive forces in order to prepare the way for the builders. Their decay means this on a more general point of view. For example, what he means there is the Ray One person will use destruction to prepare the way for the Ray Twos around him. The builders are always on a Ray Two for the furtherance of the plan. You know, destroying crystallized dogmatism and crystallized ideologies. Then we have the will to power in order to cooperate. Power, but realized as a major weapon for love. It's funny. It's a funny expression, isn't it? Major weapon of love. But it's a really good one. I like that. And identification with the rhythm of the whole. And therefore, uniting with the whole. So isolation is completely eliminated in that person. Now let's have a look at what an astral body would look like. First, let's look at the glamours, and then we'll apply these glamours to a Ray 2. The love of being loved, the glamour of the love of being loved. That person would always want to be loved, to be popular, to be applauded, to be appreciated, and of course, wants to be popular from everyone, everybody around her, him. Would have the glamour of personal wisdom, selfish responsibility. That this is a very interesting one, and I've seen it in so many people around me, that they feel that it's their responsibility to shield others, to do things for others, to to basically take away their power and do things for them because they feel that the other people can't do it. So they've identified so much with the suffering or with the weakness of other people that they basically take over. To complete an understanding, which in effect negates right action. And one of the Ray 2 glamours is being too slow to act. So wanting to have all your bases covered and then finally paralyzes you because you don't know what to do anymore. Because you're so surrounded with not with options, but with details. And the Ray 2 is the meticulous entirety. We all suffer from that. The glamour of self-pity, basic glamour in this of Ray 2, of the Messiah complex, particularly in the religion, in religion and world need. Glamour of fear, that's very important. The Ray 2 will be very fearful, feeling vulnerable all the time. That's because of an oversensitivity. The glamour of self-sacrifice, always wanting to sacrifice the self. But the selfish unselfishness, now that's interesting, isn't it? Selfish unselfishness. But that's because they want to feel good. That's the glamour. Feel good that they have done the right thing, that, you know, they are doing the right thing for somebody else. They are being helpful, which then flows into that self-satisfaction and selfish service. Again, from Michael's list, the Ray 2 qualities of an astral Ray 2 body would be a very loving, very calm, very gentle, very serene, very patient, and unemotional, almost non-reactive, because it would slow to react. This is a Ray 2, very slow to react, but won't express that emotion like the Ray 6. We'll see this later on with the Ray 6. Be very sensitive, very fearful, but always suffering, feeling vulnerable, easily overwhelmed by emotions. Has easy contact with others. This person would have, unfortunately, heartfelt attachment, would be attaching themselves to personalities. And we are all guilty of this. Would have great identification with others, great sympathy, empathy, compassion, and would want to protect others as well. Would have that wide band of emotional responsiveness as heart goes out to many. I think we all recognize ourselves in this list here. Now, other qualities as well is that the astral body gives us understanding and harmlessness. And to this disciple, DK tells her that her emotions, therefore, won't interfere with her judgment and her decisions. Now, that's a really good thing. To RSU, whose makeup is a Ray 2 soul and a Ray 2 astral body, again, she would be a great transmitter of light and love to others. And the closeness of the Ray 2 soul and Ray 2 astral really makes her a great transmitter of light and love to others. And because of that alignment between her soul and her astral body, gives her also intuitive insight. And I've known so many people like this. They are so, so intuitive, because that empathy and that compassion is so great that astral Buddhic connection is very close and very active in them. To DPR, this time has a Ray 2 astral, but a Ray 1 soul. Now, I'm going to concentrate a little bit more on this disciple, because DK has got a lot of great advice which can benefit us all. Now, this disciple has got an excessive Ray 2 astral, in other words, not very well controlled. And her main problem is this one. Your strenuous endeavor to lift all that you possibly can off their shoulders. And we've all been guilty of this at one stage or another. And there is a great lesson in group activity. And we'll see that in a minute. He tells her, lift not too much, my brother. It's the right of their souls to learn the same lessons as you have had to learn. And an over-pitiful heart is not the most helpful of possessions. But a loving heart is helpful, not an over-pitiful one. Take not away from others this right to stand alone by too great a display of that shielding love which your powerful astral body so easily and so selflessly can express. Let them stand up to the issues of the soul which are brought to their attention through the medium of the material lesson and enable them to enter into their next life better equipped to love, to work, and to live unselfishly. Now, we can all benefit from that advice. So, contrary to the first, to the previous disciple that we saw, this the solution to this disciple is to bring in the qualities of her Ray One soul, to harness and to rein in her excessive Ray Two astral body. But know, he says to her, that this relation was established by the intelligent will of your soul in order to stiffen your astral reactions with first ray energy. So her soul did that on purpose, so that it can color and control the astral, the Ray 2 astral body with that Ray 1 qualities, bringing detachment and isolated strength. Because the Ray 2, she was too weak, too empathic, too over-identified with others. And that was her weakest point. So detachment, strongly felt in love, remembering that first ray is only the first sub-ray of the great cosmic ray of love, is the factor which will bring release and understanding, not only to herself, but to all those around her. So that aspect of devotion must be transmuted into detached and selfless love. I think we can all benefit from DK's advice here. And remember that true love has sometimes to stand aside and look on peacefully while others learn their lessons. A hard thing indeed for you to do, brother of mine. And we can all relate to that, can't we? You think with clarity, my brother, when the emotions of others do not overwhelm you and sweep your astral body into unison with theirs. Refuse then to be overwhelmed and regard not yourself as failing in some respect when others fail to meet the issues as they should. Now that is so good, because I know so many people. I know myself as a teacher, I used to feel like that with my students when I used to teach many moons ago. And I used to consider myself as a failure because my students didn't respond. And that was a real lesson that I had to learn, that it had nothing to do with me. I had to allow my students to learn their own lessons. So that was quite a hard lesson to learn. The reactions of others are not your responsibility. It is your responsibility to give them strength and detachment. Shoulder not, therefore, responsibilities which are not yours. And I've highlighted that one because it's a very good advice from DK here. Listen to this. This is one of the hardest lessons an initiate has to learn before he can be admitted as an active worker into the hierarchy of love. So loving is not enough. Too much is no good. It needs to be controlled. We need to be able to stand on our own two feet, just like the Buddha said, rely on yourself, which means that your self-love stand as in spiritual being, as a soul. This is so hard for us to learn, but it's great, great advice from DK here. So let's see then the transmutation of negative traits that are then needed to be transmuted to its positive qualities. So the power to build for selfish ends, capacity to sense the whole and to remain apart. The cultivation of a separative spirit. The hidden light within, because it's not expressed. The realization of selfish desire. Longing for material well-being. Selfishness and subordination of all souls' powers to the self. So these are personality traits. But when they are transmuted, then we can build wisely in relation to the plan. We can have great inclusiveness. We can long for wisdom and truth. We have sensitivity to the whole. We let go of that great heresy of separativeness. And light is revealed. We are truly illumined. And we have right speech through generated wisdom. So a quick summary now. The astral force of the second ray flowing through the astral body will use the heart as its outlet. And the negative aspect would be self-love, personality love, like we've just seen the previous slide. But the positive aspect is soul love and group love.